And ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to another edition of Voices from the Grid. It's me, the Green Ranger, Michael Whiff. I'm blanking on everyone's Ranger colors already. Black Ranger.
I'm Black Ranger this season.
Yes. Don't feel bad. I'm probably going to be messing up the Ranger colors. I'm still trying to get adjusted. Did the poor Sasha too. But
how did you do it to Sasha? Her color didn't change.
I know, that's what makes it worse. But yeah, it's the Black Ranger, Ben Taylor.
How are you getting that wrong still?
It's been a while since we got the new colors, except for Sasha. It's just give me.
That's kind of the point, isn't it? That it's been a while since we got the colors, so you should know by now.
This is true.
We're literally on the sixth episode of the season, my dude.
We're doing in this episode Missing Green, Orchestral Maneuvers in the Park, and Beauty and the Beast.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Before we get into the actual episodes, right, there is a talking point I want to discuss before we get into the actual episodes, right? Ooh. And I am positive this will come up next episode as well when we have everybody here. But this is a special time in Power Rangers, right? Because this is the only time in all of Power Rangers since Green with Evil that Tommy doesn't have or isn't actively looking for Power Ranger powers. These three episodes.
Yeah. This is very true.
And the reason I say that is, you can say all you want about the time between Turbo and Dino Thunder, and then Dino Thunder and Ninja Steel. Is that the next time he appears? No, Legendary Battle. Yeah, the Legendary Battle, right? Mm-hmm. However, as I point out, and I'm sure it will come up again once we get to the Turbo movie, the Zeo powers don't get destroyed. They just disappear, right? They just, Cat turns into the Zeo Ranger, falls in some water, demorphs, and then they are never mentioned again.
Whoops.
It's like, I don't know. Anyway, but the point being, My personal vendetta against Tommy Oliver. I don't know if that's why you put me on these episodes, or if the fact that I make such a big part about I made such a big thing about the fact that it's only three episodes till he gets new powers, but since October 5th, I think, was the first airing of Green with Evil, first part of Green with Evil. These are the only three episodes in 27 years that Tommy doesn't have Power Ranger powers. Or isn't, like, loses his powers and instantly starts the quest for the ninja powers kind of thing. Right? Like, just that I thought that would be a nice blanket thing to get out of the way before we start the actual episodes, right? So,
yep. And with that, we're going to start with Missing Green, with everyone's favorite segment, in my mind, the quick run through of the episode. And we begin at the youth center where Jason is practicing with Zach, but he is having concentration issues. Jason still blames himself in regards to the green candle. Zed unveils his plan to use candles to drain the pink, black, yellow, and blue Rangers. Billy, Zach, Trini, and Kim go on a road trip with Bulk and Skull on their tail. At a pit stop, Goldar captures the Rangers, and at Zed's palace, Goldar uses the green candle to light the yellow, blue, pink, and black candles. At the command center, Jason makes it known that the karate trophy means nothing without his friends, and Zed turns the trophy into a monster. Zordon locates the others and shows Jason their situation. Jason morphs into action, fights off the putties, Zed makes the monster grow, and then Jason calls for the Red Dragon Zord. After battling some, Jason takes out the monster and breaks into Zed's dimension. At Zed's palace, the candles are almost depleted. Jason shows up and battles Goldar. Jason gets the power coins from the other Rangers and places them on the respective candles, and Jason restores their powers. The Rangers then escape Zed's dimension, and we see Tommy writing Jason and the team a letter. Tommy's wearing white for foreshadowing. And back at the youth center, Bulk and Skull show the Rangers the picture. Then Jason does the karate tournament and wins.
Right. So we are at Missing Green, a.k.a. Jason on a guilt trip. that's my title for the episode. It's the opening scene is really interesting, right? Which is Jason and Zach in the youth center. Because they're doing this training sequence, getting ready for the karate tournament. And Jason shows more emotion in that one scene than Tommy did when he initially lost his powers. Right? It's just like, come on. Then we go to the moon, and Zed mysteriously has black, pink, yellow, and blue candles. How? In the green candle is explicitly stated that the green candle could exist because while he was under mind control, Rita fused it with Tommy, right?
Yeah.
So how does Zed have candles for the other four Rangers? And why not just get one for Jason too? Doesn't make sense.
Because he wants to break Jason's will. Which I actually think is the true point of the whole reason
it
for
is.
It.
It is the point, but that doesn't explain how he got the candles, right? Because they're supposed to be made of this super rare wax, right? And then also the fact that the green candle is still burning, if everyone's reasoning for the fact that Tommy still was able to access the green powers after green candle is the fact that the green candle stored the green powers. The fact that the green candle is still burning means the green power still exists by their rationale.
Yeah.
Anyway, there's a really nice moment in the juice bar that I'm really surprised you didn't mention. Bulk and Skull overhear Kimberly talking about Tommy and being a Ranger. And they actually acknowledge it, right? And admittedly, they get the wrong end of the stick, right? And think that Tommy's off hunting the Power Rangers. But it's really nice to hear them acknowledge the fact that talking out loud about the powers can backfire, right? Because they've been quite blasé about it up till now. Zach, in his, I think it's like a Ford Explorer, I don't know, is driving the team and asks if they're there yet. Aren't the passengers supposed to ask the driver that? Zach, are we there yet? So they're in the car because Kim said that she thought Tommy was at his uncle's beach house where he goes to relax sometimes, right?
Right.
Then they're in the car on the way there, and she's like, I don't know where it is.
You're the one who told us where it was in the first place. This also kind of tells you like where certain scenes were shot in order.
Yeah. The Rangers stop to look at a map, right? To try and locate a single beach house. This map is an ordnance survey map that is designed to show you like major routes and topographical information, not a single house on the beach.
Remember those maps back in the day?
Oh, yeah.
I think we still have some scarily. Yeah.
Then, as they're checking the map, because all four of them had to get out of the car to check the map, obviously, the putties attack, right? And the Rangers morph. And Bulk and Skull see all four Rangers next to Zach's car. Then Goldar shows up, right? And Goldar's like, Power Rangers, monologue. I look more like a dog than a monkey. And then shoots them with laser beams from his sword and puts them all in prison. Why is it, and this will come up in two episodes' time, why is it, and when I say two episodes, I mean two Power Rangers episodes, so in this very recording session, why is it that at sometimes Goldar can just shoot four Rangers at once without moving and teleport them to Zed's dimension, and at other times they have to fight for 10 minutes?
Logistics?
Yeah. Padding out the episode. Right.
I know, deleted scenes that we haven't seen.
Yeah. So then we get to Zed's Dark Dimension, which, if that's not the name of a Power Rangers adult parody, I don't know what is. And Goldar is openly lighting the power candles in front of the Rangers, right? Why? I know that proximity makes the candles burn quicker or something that they said in Green Candle, right? But do it round the corner, right? Or behind the cell. Because that way, if they get free, they don't know that there are candles and can't put them out.
I think with the way I viewed it, especially like as a kid, it was like kind of like, you know how like when you're a kid and you do something bad, and you have to sit in the corner and you can't do anything.
Yeah.
You have to watch. And like, I know like sometimes when I've been punished, there'll be a timer and I have to watch the timer. And then I think that's how it was like, it's like the Power Rangers are in timeout. They have to watch their punishment.
No, I did that. But like tactically, it doesn't make any sense. Right. Yeah. Then Zed makes the karate trophy into a monster. Remember when we did the Gotardo episode and there was a huge plot point about the fact that Zed could only turn living things into monsters? Today I learned that karate trophies are alive. That is not how science works, Lord Zed. It's not.
Right, hold on. That is one. That's not how science works right there for this episode.
Pipe Brain, I think the monster's called in this episode.
I don't remember.
Oh, sure. Pipe Brain, Pipe Head. Is the first monster we've gotten from Die Ranger, which is worth noting because we're fully into, we'll finally be able to see monsters and Zords on the screen together again, rather than having to cut between them.
Although there is a very interesting one as we get a little later on while we're still in, I'm going to say this, volume one of season two on the DVDs.
Yeah.
There is a Megazord battle where you see the original Megazord, yeah, and then it cuts right to the Thunder Megazord.
Yeah. Zordon says Goldar is taking advantage of, quote, the one weakness of the Power Rangers, unquote.
Which weakness is that?
The candles, I'm guessing. We know this to not be true. So the only way into where the Rangers are for Jason is to destroy Pipe Brain, right? So the whole speech that Zordon gave about choosing between killing Pipe Brain and saving the Rangers was complete nonsense. Also, if that's the only way Jason can get in to save the Rangers, why not hide Pipe Brain until after the Rangers are depowered?
Because logistics. I think that's going to become like my new catchphrase, because logistics.
This is tactically unsound.
I think Lord Zedd and Goldar need to read like books from General Patton, yeah, go and read Churchill. Like
Sun Tzu's Art of War or something. I don't know.
Their tactics to this war is not going well.
Like, if they've read a book of war, it's the Zap Brannigan Big Book of War. We will send wave after wave of our own men at them. So Jason, what's the, you know how like Nightcrawler, when he teleports around, is bam thing, right?
Yeah.
What's the sound effect for the Power Rangers transport? Anyway,
it makes Jason, a sound.
Jason teleports in, right? And literally a second later, without having laid a finger on Pipehead, Pipehead says, "You disappoint me, Red Ranger." It's like, what? Is there a whole part of this fight scene that's been cut? Because those are the best bits of Power Rangers in the early years. And then Pipe Brain dies within 2 minutes of Jason morphing, right? And I don't just mean Jason hits him within 2 minutes and he grows bigger. I mean he is dead. Like, he's gone through putties, Pipe Brain, calling the Dragon Zord, fighting him, hitting the finish in 2 minutes.
He did.
What's wrong with you? I say you did. And earlier, Zordon was like, "This monster is very powerful, Jason. Come on, my dude."
Could you imagine if they did like uncut episodes and we saw like the actual long form battles?
I tell you what, in the Disney years, I would love that. Read my columns if you want to know more about this. But the unmorphed fights in the Disney seasons are amazing. Jason's ADR, alternate dialogue recording, his voiceover dialogue, in Zedd's dimension sounds nothing like Jason.
Yeah, and we accomplished this like a few episodes earlier, where this is now the point where we're not getting good ADR from Jason, Trini, or Zach. And it's something that I've actually have noted for when we actually do, I believe it's... no.
When
it's
we get to Beauty and the Beast.
Ninja Encounter 2.
But no, Beauty and the Beast in this episode, right?
Yeah.
I'll bring it up. But Trini's voice actress on the DVDs is English.
Yeah. And also, interesting fact, they've actually been also crediting Scorpina in the credits for every episode, despite her not showing up. Mm-hmm. Which is so weird. But no, there's actually another thing that they did for specifically the Ninja Encounter 3-parter, where they kept using the same footage from the very first episode of season one.
Yeah.
And it was very noticeable. But
we'll get to that.
Yeah, we'll get to that stuff. Encounter. Yeah.
There's this whole thing with the power coins and the candles and stuff like that. And it makes me wonder why they didn't do that with the green candle. Right?
Yeah.
Now, you made a big point about this, that Tommy is seen wearing white when he's writing his letter at the end. Upon reflection on the first half of season two, right? Or the first third, I think it is, of season two. Now, again, I'll mention this in the future episodes as well. I don't understand how it was ever a mystery as to who was taking over as White Ranger. Right? Because
yeah.
Everyone else they set up are completely useless and do nothing. And then there's Tommy wearing white. Just saying. Anyway.
Which is funny because you also see in later episodes he's back in green again.
Yeah. Jason wins the tournament because of course he does. And then Bulk and Skull get laughed at. End episode.
Yeah, I kind of feel bad for Bulk and Skull.
Yeah, well, there's an episode. I think it's one of these episodes. Is it? Which one? It might be.
I think it's the next one. No, it's the next one. It's Orchestral Maneuvers in the Park. Because I have it noted about something that they work on and then gets destroyed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we'll get to that. Yeah. So yeah. That is the extent of my notes for Missing Green.
All right. So with
an episode that Tommy's in for 20 seconds, but he's still the title character.
Yeah. So with that, we're gonna move over to Orchestral Maneuvers in the
Park. Orchestral.
Orchestral.
Yeah.
Sorry, it's a word I don't commonly say. Yeah. You can tell, but it's now everyone's favorite segment in my mind. Once again, the quick run through of the episode where we begin at the juice bar. We see Zach and Trini with Richie and Curtis. Curtis has a concert and their uncle is a famous trumpet player, apparently. Go Zach and Curtis. Zed wants to place a spell on the trumpet. Zach, Billy, and Kim walking in the park when they encounter Bulk and Skull. Then the putties attack Zach, Billy, and Kim. Killy and Bim getting better.
Killy and Bim?
Kim and Billy are getting better as fighters. This is actually very evident in this fight scene that they're getting better as individual fighters when not morphed. Putty sprinkles a spell on the trumpet. And then back at the youth center, Zach gives his cousin the trumpet. But Bulk and Skull are still at the park where Zach, Billy, and Kim fought the putties. It's concert time and the music is pretty good, but the spell is cast on the Rangers. Zed is pleased and a putty steals the trumpet. Zed then turns the trumpet into a monster. Bulk and Skull shenanigans at the park. And then the trumpet monster brings back the bee monster and the Rangers morph into action. More monsters are brought back as the Rangers go to battle. At the command center, Zordon Alpha sees the Rangers fighting no one, and Bulk and Skull run into the Rangers on the beach. Zordon has Alpha teleport the Rangers to the command center. Zordon informs the Rangers of the spell, and the monsters aren't real. Zed instantly makes the trumpet monster grow, and it's TMZ time. And Ben, this is the first time I'm actually saying this with you. That means Thunder Megazord.
Yeah. I figured it out.
Yeah.
I has that in brain.
Yeah, okay. Well, it's like maybe the second or third time I've only done it. So Rangers defeat the monster and break the spell.
It's not like you could be like, oh, the monster grows and suddenly there's a incredibly invasive, really harsh, parasitic news entity that just talks about nonsense all the time.
Yeah. Ours means Thunder Megazord, because what else would we be talking about? Rangers defeat the monster and break the spell. At the juice bar, Curtis is still bummed, but the Rangers give the trumpet back to him. And then Bulk and Skull bring the footprint molds, but it falls and shatters. And who are the bullies again?
Yeah, we'll get to that.
All you, Ben.
Right. We are here with Orchestral Maneuvers in the Park, a.k.a. an episode where people actually have some good ideas. I forgot what my first note was on this one. My first note on this was, oh, the opening scene has Richie and Curtis in it. This episode's gonna suck with 10 U's. So there's a small note. Now, this is something I've had to go over with my co-hosts here recently. About scripting. I wonder why. But there's a small scripting note for the start of this episode, right? The very first line is Richie saying, here you go, guys, and handing Kim and Billy?
Sodas. Zach and Trini.
Zach and Trini sodas, right? It's Kim and Billy in the next episode, I think. Handing Zach and Trini sodas. At the exact same time, Curtis is walking into frame and says, hey, guys. Right?
Yeah.
The repetition of the word guys grates, because naturally that's not how speech patterns work. Right? So they should have used something else there, or figured out, or spaced the lines out a bit more, or something like that. It's just a small scripting note that I figured I would pass along to the listeners. Something I've had to remind Mike on recently.
Hey, I fixed that script.
You did. You fixed it very well.
Thank you.
The question, are you coming to the jazz concert tomorrow? That's their excuse for calling this Orchestral Maneuvers in the Park, isn't it? Jazz bands are not orchestras. They're not. They're really not. So Curtis's trumpet is in the moving van from St. Louis, but he managed to not only get a place in a jazz band, but score a solo. With no trumpet.
Maybe he sent a demo tape.
When was the last time you saw a band give someone a solo spot without having heard them play?
Usually never.
Also, if this was an orchestra, you'd have to earn that crap for years.
Yeah, you really do.
Our uncle is one of the most famous jazz musicians of all times. Just like Trini's uncle is a world-famous scientist and martial artist. They got some famous families, these Rangers. Billy's uncle is the most famous librarian ever, and I don't know, Jason's uncle is Jason's auntie is the most famous movie star, and Tommy's uncle is overrated.
Do we actually get something for Jason and Billy? No.
No.
Because we might do,
but not in any of the episodes I've watched or rewatched.
Because I know the big one for Kim was actually dealing with the fact that her parents are divorced.
Yeah.
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 So it's there's nothing famous there or anything like that. It's actually a real life issue.
But I think her mom's new husband is famous, though. He's at least rich.
I think maybe rich, but not famous. I think
he's some high profile lawyer or something.
Maybe. I don't know. They focused more on the divorce side of the things than they did about who the stepfather was, really.
Maybe.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's just this, there's this tend towards, the Rangers having famous
family members.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, he's a painter. That's what it is.
Mm.
He's a painter. Anyway, so Zed's plan is to put a hallucination spell on a trumpet, right? It's quite clever, right? But what if... Because they're bringing this trumpet out of storage, right?
Yeah.
What if he starts playing the trumpet and it's out of tune? He's not going to play the trumpet. Right? It's a very... It's hinged on some... So even in an episode that Jason David Frank isn't in, at least he was in the last episode, right? Even if it was only for 5-10 seconds, right? Writing in a letter at the end. He's not in this episode at all, physically whatsoever. People are still pining over him, right? I maintain, as I said in the last episode, or the review of the last episode, I maintain that the White Ranger reveal would have worked better if they just stopped talking about him altogether. Right? Stop mentioning him, so then when he comes back, it's like, ooh, it's like he left. Because at this point, it's like he never left, right? Because he doesn't go away. So Bulk and Skull have an excellent plan, right, to get footprints, right? Unfortunately, and this comes from watching far too many procedural crime dramas, it wouldn't help identify who the Rangers are, sadly, because unless you're getting footprints of them unmorphed and fighting, right? You're not getting their actual shoes. You're getting the bespoke morphed boots that all five of them wear that no one else does. So it would help you get their shoe size, but it wouldn't help you specifically identify an individual.
Yeah.
Right? Which is sad. Unfortunately, I'm gonna have to give that a that's not how science works. Sadly, it's a great it's a great idea, Bulk and Skull, but that's not how forensic science works.
All right, let's put that on the list.
Does that count? Because it's forensic science.
Well, you said it to ice. You said that's not how science works, and that's not how.
Yeah,
that's three on the episode now.
Looking back on the now you mentioned how you can tell that Kimberly and Billy are getting better as fighters, right?
Yeah.
looking back on the unmorphed fights in the I would go as far as to say pretty much the whole Zordon era, right? Having now watched like the Disney era, the unmorphed fights are real bad. Then, but no, let me get that straight. They were good for the time, right? But you compare the action in like Mighty Morphin to Jungle Fury.
Oh, yeah.
Or SPD.
Like, there's right? a massive difference.
Yeah.
But you have to look at it from, like, when I say they're getting better as fighters, you have to look at it from
character perspective. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. And I can't deny that, right?
Yeah.
But I was trying to look at it from a different
kilter. Like, as an overall perspective. Yeah. Yeah.
Like, the thing that kept Power Rangers interesting back in the day were the fights, right? Because the stories were with the exception of, like, Green with Evil and, like, maybe the ones where the Zords get wrecked and they get new powers, right? The stories weren't that great. I mean, we've made a point of that over the last, like, season and six episodes here on Voices from the Grid, right?
Yeah.
So what kept it good was the action. And looking back on it, the action's not that good. But the other note I've got here is you could definitely tell which of the actors were martial artists and which were dancers and which were gymnasts, right? You could definitely tell back then.
Yeah, right? Because it was well known that Tweets
like Amy Jo Johnson's a gymnast. She's not Austin.
And actually,
I think David Yost
he was a gymnast too.
Oh,
yeah. Okay. No, Walter Jones was a dancer.
Walter Jones is a dancer.
Yeah.
For some reason, I always get those two mixed up.
Yeah, no. Yeah, that was the thing. David and Amy were the gymnasts.
Gymnasts, yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, not to say that the fighting was bad for the time, but over the last, like, month, I've watched Operation Overdrive, RPM, bits of season two for my notes, and I'm rewatching Dino Thunder right now, and Jungle Fury, right? So just reflecting, like, then versus the Disney era, it's very, very clear as the... Anyway, I'm belaboring a point now. So there's a scene where Zed tells Goldar to go put the spell on the trumpet, right? And then, like, one fight scene later, he's telling Putties to go do it. It's like Goldar's like, nah, I'm on my break, mate. The Union's... sorry, buddy. Like,
I need to take my 15 minute.
Yeah. Other than the fact Curtis clearly isn't playing the trumpet in the band scenes, and he's just like wiggling his fingers on top of the valves, right? I haven't written a note in 4 minutes. This might be a record. Because nothing's happening. It's just a putty fight and a jazz concert, right?
Yeah.
So then the spell ejects itself from the trumpet and mists all over the Rangers. And I have a note that says, I'm guessing that the spell is tuned to only affect the Rangers, right? Otherwise, everyone in that hall should be hallucinating monsters.
They really should.
Which, in my opinion, would have been a better plan because it would have sowed more chaos. And then a putty teleports into a crowded juice bar And you saw how crowded it was in the wide shot of the concert, right?
Yep.
It manages to teleport in, grab the trumpet, and teleport out, and no one sees it. Not one person. So then you're left asking, well, sometimes, as in the previous episode, Zed can make monsters from afar. Like, he just shoots a beam from orbit and it becomes a monster. But this time they had to capture the trumpet. But then they didn't, because they just took it to a park, and then he made it into a monster from a distance anyway. Just make it to a, into a monster in the youth center.
That's too easy.
So, I think the monster in this is called Trumpet Head? Trumpet something?
Something like that.
He summons the bee monster. And the rangers are like, oh no, it's the bee monster. Let's do the morphing. And then they do the morphing. And suddenly, from a park, they are on the beach. Because the bee showed up in a park, they morph, and they're on a beach.
Because logistics.
Because Sentai footage. Or Zutu footage. Yeah, it would be Zutu footage at this point, I think. So, these things they're finding are hallucinations. They should not be able to hit them. They should not be able to hit the Rangers. The Rangers should not be able to hit them. But guess what?
They are.
They are. You cannot punch thin air and have it make the sound of punching a bee monster. That's not how science works. So checking the computers, Alf was like, there are no monsters anywhere, Zordon. What about the trumpet monster?
Oh, he buggered off.
No, he says there are no monsters anywhere. As in, there are no monsters. Like, Zed's not on the moon. Goldar doesn't exist anymore.
They yeeted Goldar into the suns.
Yeet. Then we have our third good idea of the episode from, of all people, Zordon, who rather than just trying to talk the Rangers out of fighting the hallucinations, he just teleports them out so they can't fight the hallucinations. It's actually a really good plan. Because otherwise they'd be like, wait. But they're here. I can see them, right? And then he just shows them the viewing globe footage and they're like, wait, what? Right? It's really clever. It's actually really smart.
Zordon's got to have those moments every now and then.
Yeah, yeah. And then Zordon says the line, there are no monsters at all. And then 5 seconds later shows them a monster on the viewing globe. Make up your mind, Zordon. You plonker. So Zed grows trumpet top, whatever it's called, before the Rangers even fight him. Right? And then we get the full-on Megazord summoning sequence. And full-on formation sequence to pad out the runtime of the episode. The Zord fight is super underwhelming, right? It's like punch, punch, kick, finishing move. There's no extra giant monsters from the from the spell. There's none of that, right? They could have done so much more with this fight and just didn't, right? And then we get to the moment that I was talking about when we were talking about during Missing Green, where Bulk and Skull come to the youth center with a cast of the Rangers' footprints, right?
And they're really proud about this, too.
And they're super proud of it. And we've joked for a season and six episodes at this point about who are really the bullies in this situation, right? But this absolutely underlines that, right? Because Bogus, they're not only are they super proud of it, right? I've never seen that many people rush to dance on a dance floor just because someone turned a CD on, especially in Power Rangers. And I understand that the Rangers were trying to protect their own identities. And I understand that in the end, it was Skull slapping Bulk on the back that made Bulk drop the cast. But Bulk gives out this scream when it shatters, right? It's absolutely heartbreaking. And the Rangers just laugh at him. Go back and watch that moment again. The scream Bulk gives out is absolutely heartbreaking. And Bulk and Skull are both just staring at, they're just completely dumbfounded, right?
Yeah. It stinks. It really does.
It absolutely breaks your heart. And it's the kind of thing that makes you, I don't know, it's just like, it's kind of the moment that, like, and it goes back to the fact that I think I said this in the wrap up for season one, that I'm convinced Bulk and Skull are the only actual human beings in this show.
Right? That was a prime example why.
Yeah. Anyway.
So
that's the end of Orchestral Maneuvers in the Park.
Which brings us to our final episode of this episode, Beauty and the Beast. And once again, for the final time in this episode, it's everyone's favorite segment, In My Mind, the quick run through, where we begin at the youth center with Kim and Billy missing Tommy. And it should be noted that one of the reasons for Kim missing Tommy is technically because they are dating.
Yeah.
I mean, so that kind of makes sense there. Goldar and Zed are happy about this. Zed wants Kim as his queen. Billy and Kim decide to seek a fortune teller, which Bulk and Skull think is a great idea too, so they seek the fortune teller as well. They want to know who the Power Rangers are, but they get what they pay for. Zed sends Goldar to kidnap Kim and is successful with the help of magic dust. Zed turns Kim's mirror into a monster, and then Zack and Billy are rollerblading when they get contacted by Zordon. Along with Trini, they are briefed on Kim's whereabouts at the command center. Zed sends putties to attack Curtis and Richie. Billy and Trini morph to find Kim. Zack goes to help Richie and Curtis, and then Trini's ADR is 1,000% off here. Kim awakens and Goldar puts Kim into Rita's attire. And holy crap, Kim is just slaying it with the Rita impersonation here. Trini and Billy come to save the day. And it comes out that Kim was never really under the spell and she was just acting. The mirror maniac monster is on the loose. All five Rangers get together to take on the monster. Zed makes the monster grow and it's Thunder Megazord time. Rangers win, hearty har. And then Curtis returns Kim her mirror. Bulk and Skull get embarrassed by Ernie over the fortune teller to end the episode.
Beauty and the Beast, aka the moment where 90% of teenagers said, I too would like to marry Kim.
This is accurate.
So my first note is, I see we're still pining over Tommy. Again, watching this as an adult, I don't see how the White Ranger reveal was a surprise. The two people they brought in as red herrings, Richie and Curtis, never did anything of value. Nothing. Zero. Plus, they won't shut up about Mr. Thomas Oliver. And I know it was only... and I know it only happened 3 episodes ago in Power Rangers time that he lost his powers. But he's back next episode. Right? It's one of the reasons I... And we'll probably go into this when we record White Light. But it's one of the reasons I don't buy the whole letter writing campaign thing. But we'll get to that. Don't let me forget that when we record White Light. The mirror that Tommy won for Kim looks a hell of a lot like a ping pong paddle. And I'm not sure we ever see the actual mirror part of it. So it might just be a ping pong paddle.
That's one really big ping pong paddle.
Is it normal for advanced level high school children to read by dragging their finger over newspapers and sounding words out loud?
I still do that as a 34-year-old adult. Not every article, but certain ones that I want to pay attention to.
Okay.
Everyone has their way of reading, you know.
Right, but fun fact: if I'd have been reading like that at anything past the age of like 7 at school, I would have failed class.
Let's be fair, though. Is it every little thing though that is read? No.
Every little thing she reads off this page that's an advert, she's running her finger along and sounding out loud.
That's just probably how the script had her do it.
Oh, I'm not saying it's not. I'm just saying that if the... And we'll come into this later. Again, not in this episode, but in future episodes. These kids are... They are... presented as being the top of their class, the best of the best, the smartest, the brightest, but yet they exhibit they aren't written that way, right? They're not shown to do that, right? Like, anyway, Kim's been proven to be a top student in several classes, but yet she's still got to drag her finger across something to read it, right? It doesn't... That's not how you... Anyway. Also, the newspaper's black and white, right? The whole thing is black and white. There's no color on it anywhere. So why is the crystal ball blue? And you can see the whole thing's black and white when Bulk picks it up later, because he gets it and he puts it on top of his map, and the map's color and the newspaper's not.
Maybe they paid extra for the crystal ball to be blue.
Sure. Well, the point is more places that only print black and white, you don't have the facilities for color.
Right.
So there's a really nice little moment where as Kimberly and Billy are leaving the juice bar, Billy says, cool, we can go, but I got to stop off and get my rollerblades first, right? Which is a really nice, subtle line that explains how Bulk and Skull got to the
fortune teller first.
Fortune teller before them.
Yep.
Right? It's a really nice little just quick narrative thing that Power Rangers could really use more of. It helps make sense of your plots, right? Yeah. What's not nice is that that line implied that Billy would be going with Kimberly to the
fortune teller.
To the fortune teller, and then she shows up alone. Right? So, as I said in Missing Green, sometimes Goldar can shoot a single laser beam and teleport four Power Rangers without breaking a sweat and without thinking about it. Like, and then in this episode, Kimberly puts up a fight and he's got to use magic dust on her. Right? It's like, and at least it gave him time to expose it, I guess. Right? Like,
yeah.
Once again, Zed makes a monster from an inanimate object, which again he said he couldn't do in Gattado. Billy and Zach are rollerblading. This is the second episode in a row, because this is also in Orchestral Maneuvers in the Park, where Zach's not wearing black. Wearing very colorful attire.
Well, he did that a couple times in season one too, where he would wear like the colorful top rather than
right. But he'd wear black shorts.
Yeah.
Right. Here he's wearing completely colorful things. Right.
Maybe he got tired of wearing black.
Yeah. Maybe. Seven minutes into a 19-minute episode. 18 minutes if you don't include closing credits. The first time one of the actors in the episode appears. Zach. Seven minutes in. Right? There's a reason I'm keeping track of this, and it will become clear later. Trini appears at the 8-minute mark in the command center, but has no lines. 8 minutes into an 18-minute episode. So Curtis and Richie are skating to meet Zach and Billy, right? And they get jumped by putties. Or accosted by putties, as my notes say. But jumped is probably a better word. And they specifically say, who are these guys? Right? Which would tend to suggest that they don't know who putties are. Right? Because there's this ongoing debate as to whether the public at large know about what's going on. Right? But this would indicate they don't know who putties are. Right? But then later in this episode, Richie knows exactly who they are because they're on the news all the time. So it's like,
make up your mind.
Make up your mind. Trini's first line is at 8 minutes and 20 seconds. Someone asks Zordon, what about Jason? Because to this point, Jason hasn't been in the episode. Right.
Right.
And my note is, Zordon says that the mountains are shielding him from their signal. AKA, he'll probably only show up morphed with bad ADR And if we didn't need him for the Megazord sequence and he wasn't in the Sentai footage, we'd leave him out completely. Guess what exactly happens? Trini's ADR in the potty fight sounds nothing like Tri Trang. It is, in fact, an English person. Don't know who, what their name is. They're not credited. But on my copy of the DVD, it's an English person. Some reruns apparently have another voice actress, but again, after the fight, Richie knows who the parties are, so why did you say who are they earlier? Make up your mind. Goldar takes Kim to the Cave of Fantasy. Misses. There's a joke there about Kim's Cave of Fantasy that probably isn't PG-13. So this will obviously come up again when we record the episodes concerning the wedding of Rita and Zed. But Kim's attire when she is selected to be Zed's bride makes her look like Rita Repulsa to the point where I think it's Babu even calls out, well, she sure looks like Rita, foreshadowing the fact that Zed actually does find Rita attractive, so that when the love spell is removed later and he's still in love with her, it shouldn't be much of a... Anyway.
Yeah.
So, how long did I say this episode was without credits?
18.
18 minutes. Jason, quote-unquote Jason, shows up for the first time 13 minutes and 33 seconds into the episode. Completely morphed. No mention of reaching him except a single line on a communicator. Nothing. Oh, and with bad ADR. Bear in mind that after the putty fight that they have, Zed makes the mirror monster grow. At this point, the Rangers haven't laid a finger on the mirror monster. They haven't so much as touched him or looked in its direction. But yet its mirror is cracked when it grows. I think there's a bit of plot we're missing.
Yeah.
So we get a full Zord summoning sequence and a slightly foreshortened Megazord summoning sequence because the Red Dragon does its instant morph rather than its long morph. Starting at 15 minutes and 30 seconds into the episode, the Zord coming together and summoning takes a full 90 seconds of the episode. And then the fight is pose, grapple, finisher. That's all it is. And then Madame Swampy was... And then they get to the juice bar. And Ernie's like, oh yeah, Madame Swampy's a friend of mine. Isn't this a great idea for a promotion? No. No, it's not. It's really bad. it's predilected on people going to a fortune teller that sounds fake and wanting a free protein muffin. Anyway, that's the end of my notes for Beauty and the Beast.
Yeah. So, all right. We got to stretch out for this guy. Stretch out for this. All right. Fan, where can we find you on the social media?
Wow. Oh, man. It's been a while since I've had to do this. You can find me on Twitter over at...
At Bob T. Goldfish.
You can find the currently on hiatus sister show of Voices from the Grid, Awesome Mania, where Mike and I talk all about professional wrestling over at
txhthockey.com/awesomemania.
You can find this show, Voices from the Grid, on Twitter at
VFTG_PR.
You can find my season by season column breakdown of my thoughts on various Power Rangers seasons over at
txhthockey.com/bens-journey.
I'm not sure which one will be out or coming out when this episode airs, because quite frankly, I'm only writing them when I have time now. And these episodes are recorded in advance.
Yep.
And you can find me doing the video game streaming thing over at
twitch.tv/321_TV.
So yeah, that's me.
All right, and you can find me on the social medias at Twitter and at @TheLindenBaum75, Facebook at facebook.com/x95productions, Twitch doing the gaming thing at twitch.tv/TheMichaelX75, and of course the website txhdhockey.com. By the time this episode is still airing, we may still have an NHL season? Question mark?
It depends on whether any of the teams have players left.
Yeah, we're break the fourth wall here. We're recording this episode on February 10th.
Yeah.
Yesterday, the Capitals were supposed to play Flyers. That game was postponed. The Capitals game tomorrow against the Buffalo Sabres has been postponed. And Saturday's been postponed. So it's like, it's a mess. It's a freaking mess. So who knows? But yeah, so everything's on txhthockey.com. And as for this show specific, it's /VFTG. So with that, Ben, take us out.
What is there to say other than... I do want to make a quick mention of it, because Mike has broken the fourth wall about when we're recording. 10 days ago, the great Netflix purge happened, and Power Rangers Twitter collectively lost its minds, because 90% of them don't understand that contracts can end at different times. We, on the other hand, we've stayed strong. And we live by but a single motto. And that is, guys, gals, and non-binary pals. In the words of the 16th President of the United States, Abraham Lincoln, be excellent to each other. And party on, non-gender-specific honorifics.
And until next more phenomenal episode, may the power protect you.
Peace.